Now, for something completely different. In response to a diminishing number of requests, here's Brian Wilson.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and people of all sexes, and those of you in Pennsylvania, Arizona, Wisconsin, and other key states perfecting your ballot harvesting techniques for the next year's election crop, welcome to another slide on the razor blade of life with the two and only, reunited once again for the first time to add insult to injury to your intelligence and make a prudent, prurient perversion of podcasting with thoughts and observations as remarkable as Jill Biden's wardrobe. In response to a diminishing number of requests, permit me to introduce ourselves. Brian Wilson's my name, not to be confused with the Beach Boys, the former baseball player, or that guy in Memphis. And safely ensconced in his technically challenged office, safely out of gun range of the logic free zone, the nationally renowned investigative journalist and peripatetic author, the New York Post's armor piercing opinion writer, and recently honored by President Biden for his beard that replaces the Hanging Gardens of Babylon as the seventh wonder of the world, James Bovard. Congratulations, Jim. I was amazed at the announcement. Seventh wonder.
Well, you worked really hard in that line, so I'll just try and pay it proper respect.
Well, hell, you know, I've been insulted by pros. It's all right. Before we get into the today's pool of political quicksand, I do want to announce with a heavy heart that neither Mr. Bovard or our bus driver, Joe Ted, nor I won any portion of the $1.5 billion Mega Millions jackpot. But I do think that for all of you out there suffering from terminal envy, you need to know that it was our Uncle Sam who made out better than any of the winners of all the taxes. He didn't even have to buy a ticket. Just had to make that WD-40 form available, and that's it. Everybody sends their money in accordingly. I don't know. I didn't read anything about that, just how much the winner had to give up out of, what do you get? It says about 60%, 1.5. So I guess Uncle Sam got, about $600 million out of that? So that's about right.
Maybe. Maybe I haven't had to do calculations at that level.
just as well. Well, probably best we begin with the president's casual reordering of what had been the seven wonders of the world, adding the Grand Canyon as number nine. Now, personally, I figured number eight was the 81 million votes Biden got in the 2020 election. But you wrote the piece for the Post, Jim, and it's probably have a different take on all that, exactly how that how and where that happened, and what fun everybody had with the president's eloquent speech.
Yeah, it was funny to watch him going back between the Grand Canyon being one of the nine wonders of the world, or maybe it was one of the seven wonders of the world. But your idea for the eighth wonder of the world, his vote count in 2020, that's as good an idea as anything Biden has offered. It was an interesting speech because I was sitting there listening to it and watching it online, and it suddenly occurred to me, what does this remind me of? And then I had the flash. There was a speech in Blazing Saddles, 1974 movie, in which an old frontier guy rambles on, and then another guy says, tells people, hey, folks, I hope you enjoyed the authentic frontier gibberish. And Biden, with his slurred enunciation and his kind of wandering off from the text and just kind of weird things he throws in, it's like, yeah, authentic frontier gibberish. Plus, he's in Arizona. So, you know, I hate to miss a chance for a good cheap shot.
Yeah, well, why not? You know, what's exciting and something that's very unusual, we don't generally do this, was that the announcement honoring Mr. Bovard, sliding in there at number seven, if you missed it, it just so happens our two and only mighty Mattel microphones were there to catch the actual announcement.
Hey, you get back here, you pass. Can I say to winter? In no way that nobody is gonna leave this town. Hell, I was born here, and I was raised here, and dadgummit, I'm gonna die here. And no sidewinding, bushwhacking, hornswoggling, crocker crocker is gonna roll away. Biscuit cutter.
See, now a lot of people think they heard biscuit cutter right there at the end, and actually he was saying Jehovah. It's the way that came out. So it's a little difficult to pick up sometimes with the microphones and the humidity and all the rest out there at the Grand Canyon.
That's a very good quip. I'm just enjoying.
Well, I was looking at your piece in the Post, which, by the way, for those of you who don't subscribe to the Post, you can catch a copy of the article up at jimbovard.com. A number of other people got involved in the ceremony and the announcement and so on, but the history of all that, the quote you pulled from Mayor Pete, everyone likes to call our transportation secretary, part of our job is storytelling. I don't know whether that was a faux pas or a rare display of honesty.
Maybe it was neither. Maybe it was simply a honest admission of how they viewed the numbers that they tout, because you know, Biden in his State of the Union address, you know, this is a Biden is doing his Bidenomics victory tour. He's supposed to be proving how everything is going so great thanks to the laws that he's pushed through Congress. In his State of the Union address in January, Biden boasted that last year we funded 700,000 major construction projects, 700,000 all across America. CNN had a minor correction saying it was only 7,000, not 700,000. But I guess that's the Biden standard for close enough for government work.
Well, as I've said before, we've discussed, I mean, there is no person, group, or entity in the world that's worse at math than I am than the federal government. You look back at the, some of the estimates of Lyndon Johnson talking about the war on poverty and Medicare and all the rest. It was only going to cost several million dollars. I mean, things like that, they happen all the time. Even building bridges and roads and things like that are not don't even come close to the actual cost factors. Airplanes, you know, the quotes they get from Boeing, kind of their partners in terrible math. They're not even close. So what was that? 4 or 5 decimal points off from what actually happened probably isn't probably one of their smaller mistakes. I've often wondered, though, when they talk about things like that and jobs and all the rest, that the government created 174,000 new jobs. I don't exactly know how that happens unless they were all hired by the feds.
Well, yeah, Zero Hedge has had some great articles on this, pulling from some of the top analysts of how the Biden administration has been fast and loose with the economic data, which is a large source of the apparent prosperity in this country at this point. And it's interesting because most Americans, even according to CNN, say that the economy is not doing well. Biden says it's doing great, and he has the numbers to prove it. But if the numbers are rascally, then, no wonder people don't trust Biden anymore.
Rascally. I don't know there are too many people in the reporting world that would put that term onto the fudgenomics that President Biden used, but it's right on target. I like the one you pulled talking about the Babylon Bee, the line you pulled out of the White House says Bidenomics so successful the average American has twice as many jobs as they had 2 years ago. They write some good stuff over there, that's for sure.
Yeah, the Babylon Bee nailed that very nicely because I was I had space limits. I was looking at that topic and I was thinking, well, you know, there's this data and there's this data. The hell with it. Let's just have a laugh.
Yeah, no, that's great. That, well, in that exact line, you pulled in Proterra, the bus company that just went belly up. What was the same day or the day before? It was pretty remarkable. And the fact that they would use that, apparently, well, as a matter of fact, you did it. You did. I was leading into the next article that you wrote that I wanted to cite with special attention to the fact that Mr. Bovard is one of the few writers, if any, in the country besides, who can write a penetrating article with nosebleed in the title and get it published in a huge newspaper like the New York Post. So maybe that shows the editors up there are developing a true affinity for your writing talents. But what about all that? About the nosebleed thing, but the economic realities of what that article featured, especially with the Proterra thing.
Yeah, it's Biden was went to visit this Proterra, this company that makes electric buses. Went there 2 years ago and said, this company is doing so great. This company is going to own the future. Well, the future ended on Monday when the company filed for bankruptcy. But it was typical of a number of the green energy companies going back to the Obama administration. that have been massively subsidized and then still crash and burn. But it worked out well for the insiders like the Secretary of Energy.
Yeah, well, and even Vice President Harris had fun with that, because wasn't that the company she went to? We saw the, you know, water buses. They make the wheels go around. They take us to here and take us to there. And it was another one of her little weird word salads. I'm going to blame my computer for having hopping to the wrong spot. The nosebleed article for the Libertarian Institute was another example where you shine the light on the White House and their efforts to censor all sorts of things having to do with COVID and vaccinations, things along that order, also available at jimbovard.com. And this guy, Andy Slavitt, I got to say, I've never heard of him before, but you point out that he is the national joke czar. And that's, I wasn't aware of that position.
Yeah, he was he was Biden's senior COVID advisor. He was also the point man for getting Twitter to cancel the account of Alex Berenson, who's done some of the best writing since the start of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But so this guy, this White House dude, Slavitt, he was upset that Facebook was posting some humor on COVID. There was a humorous meme that showed a guy sitting in front of his TV set, pointing at the TV set, saying, 10 years from now, you will be watching TV and hear, did you or a loved one take the COVID vaccine? You may be entitled. .. And so, I mean, I don't know if people watch late night TV on some of the non-premium channels, and it's like, you know, there's these endless damn ads. But so the Biden White House got very upset about that and demanded that Facebook take it down. Slavitt was reportedly outraged. But the Biden people felt they were entitled to control any humor online that might make people hesitate to get a vaccine. And people had no right to hesitate to get that vaccine because the FDA had granted emergency approval based on a smattering of data from Pfizer and other companies. It was as if the FDA granting emergency approval to the COVID vaccine automatically canceled every American's freedom of speech.
Well, it's what they do. It's what they do.
That's good. That's great. That's a great summary. This is how it works nowadays. That's what they do.
Pretty much. Moving along, I caught a couple other things that caught my eye. Mitch McConnell is apparently speaking again. I guess that's a step in the right direction for something. But in this particular...
Lucky for us.
Yeah, really. In this particular situation, he was telling his buddies at the other end of the hall, down in the House, that they need to muzzle all this growling about impeachment. Nice Republicans don't do such things. Only nasty, gutsy Democrats get to play dirty, hog the spotlight, and make life miserable for everybody else. I suspect Mr. McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, obviously, was hoping for another one of those frozen moments right about that point, but apparently no such luck. And I also see where Senator Feinstein apparently took a spill out on the West Coast. I'm sure you've noticed, Jim, there's a bit of a spotlight that's starting to be shown on the Mitch McConnells, the Senator Feinstein, some of these oldies but goodies in the Senate, and of course the president himself, that age now seems to be becoming a factor in some of the discussions. What do you, is that going to get any life, or is this going to be buried, no pun intended, like some of the other issues that tend to be embarrassing to our elected leaders?
Well, I certainly hope it gets more attention, because there are the senior politicians in both parties who are just simply dysfunctional. And there's actually a whole lot more that are de facto dysfunctional as far as having the mental ability to do the job that they've captured. It has become too much of an open farce with Feinstein's just being, you know, she's just out of it. I mean, she has staffers walk around to make sure that people don't talk to her. And then you got Mitch McConnell, who froze up. But, I mean, in many ways, he's been frozen up for years.
True.
And he's been a rubber stamp for a number of the worst policies of the Biden administration. And so I don't know why folks feel like that the GOP can do better with someone like him at the top of the party in the Senate.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about the thing with Mitch McConnell, and it's pure just speculation and spitballing and so on. But I, you know, considering all of the questions now that are being asked about Biden's connections to China, his refusal or inability to take a stand, have a spine with them, and the weather balloons and so many other different areas, and then you think about who he's married to, and then you think about the Hunter Biden connection, and then you think the Feinstein chauffeur. I mean, there does seem to be a rather interesting proliferation of Chinese folks in very important or sensitive areas when it comes to our elected folks. And I just wonder, if somebody was asking rhetorically in an article I read the other day, is what does China have on all these people? Because it certainly seems that they're benefiting very well with everything from our strategic oil supplies, petroleum reserves, all the way up to our farm technology that and buying up land, things like that. It's almost like a termite infestation. You don't really notice just one termite, but you look around a little bit and kick a few pieces of paneling, and oh my God, you've got they're all over the place. I just wonder how much of that might be going on.
Well, Congress years ago enacted a law to compel people to register when they became foreign agents. But that is rarely enforced in D.C. I mean, the think tanks have gone on the foreign payoff dole long ago. Many of the think tanks have. So, I mean, it's a kind of law that makes sense that even a libertarian could support. But it's not convenient to our ruling class. And, you know, basically the laws haven't applied to most of them for a long time anyhow. So, it's one more side of the politicians being out of control, and it works out well for them. So it gets swept under the rug until you get people literally falling down in public. It was an interesting thing about the Biden speech yesterday at the Grand Canyon. I was watching the White House feed, and basically as soon as Biden signed his executive order, then the White House feed cut off. So it did not show him walking across the stage, whereas the C-SPAN feed did. But I think that the White House wanted to make sure they didn't have a reenactment of his performance at the Air Force Academy in Colorado.
Yeah, and I don't suppose there were any cameras around. I just caught a little the glimpse of a story that just recently popped up, where they actually showed him walking along the edge of a cliff at the Grand Canyon, you know, taking pictures, and somebody yelled out, "Don't jump." And but just the fact that, you know, he trips over sandbags and his own feet and so on, that he'd be walking by himself along this ledge in the Grand Canyon was I don't know, pretty scary, pretty gutsy, or pretty stupid. I don't know which one. I wonder whether what's her name over at Morning Joe or whatever it is, Joe Scarborough's wife, who gave a tongue-lashing to Biden's handlers for not taking better care of him from tripping over sandbags. I wonder what she had to say about his little tippy-toe around the edge of the Grand Canyon. That might be difficult.
Yeah, I saw the headline. I didn't watch the video. It's my guess he wasn't as close to the edge as what people thought. But then again, you know, the Biden White House does a lot of strange things.
And they say a lot of strange things, too. Some of those White House press conferences are really. But, you know, you were talking earlier about the elected people, congressmen, senators, people in government being out of control, off the rails. They don't subscribe to their own regulations and so on about registered foreign agents, things along that order. I read a piece from a quote, actually, from Aldous Huxley, the Brave New World guy, the other day. And I just wonder whether or not it's prophetic about our time. It said, the greater part of the population is not very intelligent, dreads responsibility, and desires nothing better than to be told what to do, provided the rulers do not interfere with its material comforts and its cherished beliefs. It is perfectly happy to let itself be ruled. And I wonder whether it's that the infestation of that particular analysis by Huxley that has I have mistakenly called, you know, contagious apathy of the electorate, whether that's really what the bottom line is. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Huxley has some wonderful quotes. That's thought-provoking. I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but it certainly applies to an awful lot of people.
Yeah, it does. It's maybe not something we'll ever be able to rock out as far as the rest of our time is concerned, but it's just always looking at ways to try to figure out why the American public, the electorate, and so on doesn't get more bent out of shape about something to the point where they actually do something. I was having a chat with Don Williams yesterday. That's a podcast up on the Substack. And I brought the question up to him too. And he said, well, you know, according to statistics, 175 million people of the population of the United States have an IQ of 100 or less. Well, that might explain a lot right there.
Well, it's a big question of what people's reading habits are. And so many people have gotten completely out of the habit of doing any substantive reading. And if you're getting your so-called news from broadcast TV or from many, if not most, of the sources on the web, then, you know, you'll be intellectually barefoot and pregnant because you won't have made the effort to get, you know, solid, credible stuff. And I'm not saying that there's any single source that's abracadabra, but people just don't read per se. It's like they just got, people's idea of reading is, you know, the length of a tweet, 280 characters or less. So,
yeah, that's scaled down from the three paragraphs they normally gave them in print media. So I guess that's...
Oh, there you go. There you go.
But, you know, it's interesting you bring up the bit about people reading, because I was going to say as the days are turning colder, it reminds me to remind everyone that there's just 119 shoplifting days left until Christmas. So why not get ahead of the Walmart riots this year, break away from the crowds and into the genius of giving grandma and everyone in the family the enlightening and entertaining reading material immortalized by my compatriot and colleague here, James Bovard. Strangers will turn opaque with joy to the world, seeing freedom in chains, lost rights, even attention deficit democracy stuffed into those vintage Fredericks of Hollywood unmentionables dangling provocatively from the branches of old Tannenbaum. So head on over to Amazon immediately, if not sooner, for the best deals. While you're there, you should also grab a case full of 50 stories, 50 years in radio for the intellectually challenged. Just think of the fun they'll have trying to decipher the big words like if, wow, Zornenplatt, while feeding their new Black & Decker shredder. If you have your own personal debt ceiling, you can just get everybody a free subscription to Brian Wilson Writes on Substack, and that'll do it. Better than a lobotomy and twice as effective. By the way, Jim Bovard and myself should recover in time to be here next week with more soporific commentary than most can endure. For the rising star of radio, TV, and keyboard, Jim Bovard, Joe Ted controlling the joystick of the studio, Brian Wilson reminding you to visit our separate but equal combustible websites, jimbovard.com, brianwilson.net, where we stash the really good stuff. That's about as apoplectic as we can get for right now. Thanks for chewing through the Gorgonzola with us. Till the next time, pull the plug, Joe.